My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Football terms, I keep getting drawn all sides by the intro to Around the NFL, because when it says John Lopez and Reggie Adetula, I'm like, all right, time to talk. And I'm like, no. Still got to make sure that we let you know that you're listening to Sports Radio 610. Let's clean some things up. I know on the YouTube chat, I know I'm not responding back in the chat. I see y'all talking. Somebody was asking, who's on the other side when it comes to the Colts pass rush? Everybody knows about the rookie, Laiatu. Don't forget, Kwity Paye on the other side.
Yeah.
He has been getting better over time.
No, he has been, and you and I were talking offshore. I was thinking fishing. Off air, I think this is what they're counting on. They're counting on him having a big breakout season this year. He's gone from 4 sacks to 6 sacks to 8.5 last year. Watch that dude, because I think that's going to be that. Potentially problematic.
So there's that. You guys, in our question of the day, y'all responded in a big way to the football game that you'll never forget. And we talked a lot in the positive. Maybe there was a couple negative, like when Kyler Murray busted y'all's high school team in
Mike
the
Renfro.
Mike Renfro, 93.
Well, 93 too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 93 came up quite a bit when it came to Oilers Bills. That one came up a lot. Some various. 713 said they were at the Rosencopter game. Never forget that.
If I made a list, it'd be a long one.
79 Cotton Bowl, Houston Cougars up 21 against Joe Montana in a snowy mess.
The chicken soup game.
Yeah.
He went into halftime, had some chicken soup, came back, threw 4 touchdowns.
And I've heard that's good for the soul.
Shout out to Donovan McNabb.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and get into these NFL star games for week one. As a fun layout of week one games. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've already gotten it kicked off with what might be one of the games of the year. And that's probably early to say it, but it was fun. It delivered in a big way.
Yeah.
Ravens-Chiefs in Kansas City just kicked things off. Moving on from that, we start tonight with Friday. You have your Sao Paulo game between the Packers and the what's the word? Eagles is the word I was looking for. All sorts of things coming through. So, Lopez, go ahead and star me up.
Well, do you want to start 1 star all the way up to 5 star or 5 star down to 1 star?
What do you think?
What do you think, Figgy?
Let's go 5 star to 1 star so that we can actually give the good games.
Don't bury the lead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, 5 star games. We got 4 of them this week outside of last night. I like Packers-Eagles in Sao Paulo, as you just mentioned. Really looking forward to Jordan Love. See what he can. He's the NFC's he's the NFC CJ Stroud. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Plus Saquon.
Yeah, that's true. Like, what does Saquon look on like on that team? For sure.
So I think
that's got Josh Jacobs too.
Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
So that's the one I keep forgetting is that Green Bay ended up with Josh Jacobs as an upgrade, or is that an upgrade?
That's going to be a fun game tonight. Fun to watch. Fun on the field. All of it. Five star game. Let's not beat around the bush here. Texans Colts is a 5-star game.
That's right.
It is. No, it absolutely is. It has all the ingredients. You know, you got
beef.
Yeah. You got beef?
Right. And then you also have
Star power.
It's a division game.
Yep. Division game. There's intrigue, I think.
Two quarterbacks that was drafted back to pretty much back to back, kind of.
Yeah. High expectations, rivalry. And I put this in kind of my little notes here. Get used to how this feels, man. The Texans going to play a lot of these.
All right, so when you talk about get used to how this feels, I understand, like, now we're delving into the idea of, like, one rivalry versus another rivalry, but...
High-level games.
Do you anticipate when it comes to this division, the Colts being the one that feels like this the most compared?
I do. The team I hate the most as far as rivals is the Titans, but in terms of the next 6, 8, 10 years potentially, I'm feeling it here. And not just against the Colts. I'm saying get used to playing in these types of games.
No, I think you're right. But that got me thinking. It's like, which of one of these teams in the division do you wonder if this will be the biggest war?
It would be the Colts, too, because they do have a court. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be good or not, but he's going to be around for a little bit.
Yeah. And feel free to disagree. This is my list of 5-star, 4-star. I put
agree
Rams.
Agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree. I put Rams Lions. I think that's
I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah. Puka, the revamp. I mean, the Lions basically changed their entire secondary.
Which they needed to, right?
Which they needed to.
That was the weak side of the ball for them, right? Offense, they had gotten dialed in. And when I say the weak side, it's respectively because Aaron Glenn did a great job wringing out talent or good play out of what was a limited talent defense.
Yes.
They've definitely tried to up that talent there. And so what is the hype for what's happening with the Lions and then the Rams? What does that look like? Sam's Aaron Donald now, and obviously with the further, I don't know when I want to say decline, but with the further aging of Matt Stafford, what are they able to ring out offensively?
It's
going to
be terrific.
And hopefully if he's healthy.
Terrific. And Jets at Niners is my other 5-star game. Monday night, Aaron Rodgers, let's see if he can go more than 4 plays, first of all. And then after that, I mean, the Niners have unfinished business. But they've also been in a little bit of drama. A lot of bit of drama this offseason. So they got to get well and get right, you know, pretty quickly.
Yeah. But then also, what are we finally going to get the prince that was promised out of the Jets, right? Like that.
There we go.
Last year, that was all of the rage in the offseason. It's like, oh, they actually got a quarterback. And this is a team that all they needed was a quarterback. I think that our fascinations have shifted in a way where we're not thinking about that as much. But I think that that's still in the back of my mind. Like, were they really just a quarterback away?
And they're really good. And Breece Hall, everything else. All right, 4-star games. I got 2 for you.
Okay.
Jaguars at Dolphins. I really think the Jags have a lot to prove. Starting obviously at the quarterback position with Trevor Lawrence. And they're going to find out pretty quick because the Dolphins, that is a team that I just have to watch almost every week. I mean, they're just so explosive. You never know when they're going to bust out a 60, 70 yarder, and you never know who it's going to be, you know?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you there. I had to go back and think back who was the defense coordinator on this team, Anthony Weaver, for the Dolphins. And I kind of want to see that matchup, right? The Dolphins defense versus that Jaguars offense. I know that they've done a little bit. They've moved in silence in some way.
Yeah.
And so I kind of want to see what the Jaguars offense actually looks like and if they're going to be anywhere as inept as they seem like they were last year.
Yeah. No, that's going to be one to watch. And the other 4-star game, Cowboys at Browns. Dak... two rookies starting on the Cowboys offensive line against, oh, by the way, Myles Garrett, the defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cowboys are always kind of must watch just whether you hate them or love them. And the Browns, man, Deshaun, too. Did I mention Deshaun Watson?
I don't think you had yet. Appreciate you getting that in there. Yeah, no, is he going to be anything?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the thing that's been incredible is that you saw him be a quarterback, especially when he was here, that looked like people were talking about as being one of the best in the league.
And was.
His fall from grace has been... I don't even know what the right word is, right? There's so many that flash through my mind that feel like they could be fitting. just is he going to be able to be anything Cable? Because we've seen all sorts of different dudes have to be able to step in into that
and they have doubt.
Offense. That's defense.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
They have a lot of doubt.
Yeah, you don't keep all them quarterbacks if you
have doubt.
And also, it's Tom Brady's first game commentating.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I didn't even put that in there.
Yep.
Big time. Three-star games. Cardinals at Bills. Some people are kind of buying stock in both these teams despite a lot of transition. Cardinals kind of came on at the end of the year. The Bills made a lot of changes, starting with Stephon Diggs and then the salary cap and everything else. Yeah. I'm not a Bills believer, as you guys know, but this will maybe go a long way.
Yeah, I think that you're spot on with that. I guess, to be fair, I didn't do a lot of watching of the Cardinals last year because why would I do that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would be fun to just get an eye on them in this season a little bit. But, yeah, I think that might be. And then this really is just getting an eye on them game. I don't know how much I'm, like, super intrigued. But, yeah, I kind of want to see what
these teams are. Marvin
Harrison Jr. Oh, yeah, that too.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That's fair.
It's got a 3-star feel. So does Titans at Bears. I think a lot of people are going to be watching just kind of see where Caleb Williams is, what he does. Can he bring this Bears team back to life? And it starts, this weekend.
Are the Titans going to keep being a boring team to watch?
Well, I'm glad you said that.
Because they used to be boring as hell to me. I'm not going to lie.
No, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, Brian Callahan, who knows what he's going to do with that offense. This game reminded me of a reality TV show that I like to watch.
Okay.
Flip or Flop.
Oh, okay. Nice to know that you're an HGTV guy.
Yeah, yeah. Are these two teams going to flip the script or are they going to flop again?
Okay. All right.
Patriots at Bengals is also a three-star game. It might be ranked a little high this weekend, but I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued more with Joe Burrow.
Maybe like a two.
It might be a two. I'm not going to argue with you on that. But I'm intrigued. You know, I'm a big Joe Burrow fan. Mm-hmm. I want to see what he can do. The Patriots, though, they're in rebuilding mode, and who knows what they're going to have, you know, at quarterback especially. So,
yeah.
Raiders at Chargers is a three-star game to me.
Agreed.
Probably would have also been a two-star based on the Raiders, but you got Jim Harbaugh, you got Devontae Adams, but who's still holding a grudge of all things. The schedule release video that the Chargers had when they had him in a trash can or something. Like, he was talking about that this week.
He was
talking about. And Justin Herbert, another quarterback that I like, but I can easily be talked off that.
Devontae might be dealing with the downside of not having a quarterback that's of mm-hmm. particular interest. Because if you had a quarterback, a lot of those questions probably still get fielded towards the quarterback.
Yeah.
He is the man of note in that locker room, so you get to answer the question. It's kind of the, and I'll liken this to basketball, with the Knicks, when you were in full James Dolan mess.
Yeah.
Except, like, James Dolan don't step in front of cameras, and at that point, Phil Jackson was really not kind of indisposed, and so all the questions about their mess went to Carmelo Anthony, like he was running something. Like, I feel like that might be where Devontae Adams is right now, where he is answering all the questions because their quarterbacks aren't people that people want to ask a whole bunch of questions.
Yeah. Another three-star game, Broncos at Seahawks. Bo Nix, the first rookie to start an opener since John Elway for the Broncos. No pressure, kid. I mean, no pressure at all. And the Seahawks, they've completely changed their defense.
I like this team.
You like the Seahawks?
I like the Seahawks. I do.
I think, I said defense. They're offense. They're the new offensive coordinator, all kinds of, new open type offensive approach.
Yeah. I mean, you're moving away from the entrenched Pete Carroll, and now, you know, some of those struggles that had been, you know, entrenched, mm-hmm. using that word again.
Yeah.
Those go. And now you have a young, fresh mindset with Mike McDonald and seeing how mm-hmm. he comes in and establish this. I mean, hell, they got into quite a few fights in preseason just because Mike McDonald was like, yeah, let him get into it. And so I kind of want to see what the tenor of this team is.
I think it's going to be pretty intriguing. Another one that maybe you could talk me into making it a two-star, not a three-star, and that's Commanders at Buccaneers.
Yeah, that's two-star-y for me.
You think it is?
Real two-star. I mean, there's the intrigue of the new. And
Jaden Daniels is what kind of did it for me. I'm a big fan of his, and I want to see what he's got, much like Caleb Williams. And it's pretty good Bucs defense. Don't sleep on the Bucs. I think they got a little something going on.
I'm asleep. You're going to have to wake me up on the Bucs.
I got them winning that division.
I remember.
Oh, that's right. You do.
Yeah, you're going to have to wake me up when it comes to the Bucs.
I have the Falcons winning there, but don't sleep on the Bucs. Two-star games. We got three of them. Steelers at Falcons. Who's ready for Russell Wilson versus Kirk Cousins? Come on, raise your hands.
That's right.
I just kind of want to see the Falcons actually get the ball to their best players. Shout out to Arthur Smith. Right? Like, I just want to actually see Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson have the ball in their hands. That's really the thing for me.
It's a kind of game. As is Panthers at Saints. Neither of these teams are going to be good.
I don't like none of those teams in that division, man.
Neither of these teams
are
going
to
be good.
I feel like those teams be stinking it up for the whole NFL.
Isn't it great to have another division that you can look at and laugh?
But you got Bryce Young and Derek Carr. Stories in their own rights. You know, Bryce Young, what's he going to do? Derek Carr, what's he not going to do?
That's right.
What's he not going to do?
Let me see Spencer Rattler at that point, man.
Yeah. And then the last two-star game, Vikings at Giants. I put in my notes on this one, Hawk Tua.
Okay, that's... I don't think that means what you think it means.
No, not that Hawk Tua. I mean, like a legit Hawk Tua.
Okay, all right. Okay.
See? All right. You went there. I didn't.
That's fair. That's
you're trying to spit on something?
Hawk Tua, bad teams, underwhelming quarterbacks. I'm just going to look at the score and maybe the roundup.
What makes me laugh is that, you know, I'm always I keep that red zone on me, you know, and so you can tell a game stinks when you're like, isn't that game on right now? I haven't seen it quite a bit, and I have a feeling that might Vikings Giants might be one of those where you just I haven't seen him on pop up on red zone. Have they not done anything fun over there?
You can have that one. All right, one star games, Figgy. None. It's the first week of the season.
Yeah, I like that.
It's the first.
I like that.
Hope springs eternal. We are going to have more than enough time to put some one-star games on the list. But
yeah, next week, some of y'all are getting bad mouth.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Giants are going to be a one-star game no matter who they're playing next week. But well, for now, two stars on Vikings and Giants and all those. But look at all the 5- and 4-star games.
God bless.
4 5-star games, couple of 4-star games, and that's not counting last night. Going to be a fun weekend.
5-star game tonight, Packers-Eagles. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610, courtesy of Westwood One. And, of course, another one that you can hear right here is the 5-star game, Texans-Colts, Sunday, noon, here on Sports Radio 610. Our guys, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, will get you ready for that one starting at 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 610. There you go, around the NFL. Actually, one more thing I should have mentioned around the NFL. Mm-hmm. Someone else get paid?
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey.
I've seen that, yeah.
24.5 or 25.1.
Okay.
Something like that. 24.1 or 25.1, but who's counting?
He got paid. Yeah. He became the highest paid, and so it's 24.1 because we just saw, who was it that got 24 just a couple days ago as
Pat,
a cornerback?
Pat Surtain.
Surtain, yeah.
So Jalen Ramsey coming back around with that Mulligetta ski mask, and they was like, hey, you know what time it is. We need that plus one.
Yeah.
And that's what you got, 24.1 on a new 3-year extension to make sure that he is the highest paid cornerback. Casario, keep that in mind, buddy, when Stingley comes up and when he's ready for extension next season. There you go, around the NFL, in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us. Someone said 281, Russell Wilson likely to miss the opener with a calf injury. So
That's up in the air.
That is up in the air.
No, I saw that, and a couple of texters said he might miss, he's going to miss. It's still to be determined.
We'll see how that ultimately plays out. Coming up next, the coordinators talked before this week one matchup. Bobby Slowick had some interesting things to say about this offense. I'm interested in what your take is on it, and we'll get that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Oh, you love to hear it on
Figgy Texas email.
Football Friday here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John P. Lopez. You got Figgy Fig on the ones and twos playing the funk. And I'm Reginald Atitula. Yes, Joseph Goodridge. Daz Band in the house. You love to hear it. Earlier, we asked on the question of the day, what is the football game as a fan that you just will never forget? And from the 832, they went down and they went back. Steelers Oilers Astrodome in the 70s when a Steelers defensive back broke Earl Campbell's ribs. They said they could hear the hit. That was December 3rd, 1978. Oh, Oilers Steelers. And that that defensive back was Donnie Shell.
Donnie Shell.
Okay.
I'm trying to go into the bank and remember that game. I don't actually remember it very well. I do remember the first regular season NFL game I ever went to was the Isaiah Robertson game when Earl Campbell buckled his chest. You've seen the highlight, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I was at that game in the end zone. It was awesome.
Some other ones, 979, the most boring game ever. Titans-Texans, VY had just gone rogue. Titans only had 162 yards. Someone else mentioned 281. A&M-LSU, 7 overtimes. I'm still physically tired from that one.
Yeah, I was there too. I almost fell asleep in the stands after the final score. I didn't even want to drive because there was going to be traffic and all that. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take a little snoozle right here until traffic clears, but no.
A lot of great ones. October 21st, 07, Texans-Titans. They said them and their dad got tickets when Sage Rosenfels almost brought the Texans back to win it. A lot of the good ones coming in. Appreciate you guys getting involved with the show. Always fun when you do that. Let's do this. Bobby Slowick, along with Matt Burke, and I feel bad because Matt Burke, I feel like just in general, he is treated as if he is the redheaded stepchild.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like, all right, Slowick on offense, D'Amico on defense, and that's it. And it's like, well, Matt Burke's over there.
I'm sitting right here.
And I will contribute again to that treatment because I did not pull some audio from him, although I thought he was somewhat insightful in some of his conversations. But I didn't want to focus on Slowick because this offense is a focal point for this Texans team going into this season. And both of these coordinators talked to the media yesterday. And so I did want to go through some of the things that Bobby Slowick talked about. And let's start with, as we mentioned earlier, we were talking about Stephon Diggs and how excited he is. And me and Ocho have been going back and forth on the text line. Not in a contentious way, but having a good...
Oh, you'll learn.
A good conversation. I'm good. I'm always good for a conversation.
He's great.
And I thought that he brought some good points to the fore. I mean, I respect it, and we'll see how it plays out. I just disagree. Be like that sometimes. But within the course of this, we were talking about, you know, the Stephon Diggs and the vibes around this. And Bobby Slowick has done a little bit to help me kind of appreciate the way that they view him. And this goes even further on this. I believe that, let's see. Yeah, this is cut. This is Slowick's three. The third cut with Bobby Slowick. He was asked on if the addition of Stephon Diggs to the offense has changed. Actually, no, that's not the one I'm looking for. Just the first one. Sorry, the first
one. He's one of us.
Yeah, yeah. It's the Diggs being one of the guys.
I've said it before. He's one of us. You know, I was pretty quick to see that once he was here. I was talking with him. He was around the guys. I mean, the fact that he was voted captain, I think, shows that he's one of us. They respect him. They appreciate how much he works, and he cares a lot. You know, he's going to do everything he can to prepare himself for game day to make sure he's in the best spot he could be to go and perform. And he's ultra competitive. You know, that's one thing. Really, all of the guys we have here right now, that stands out. CJ is an ultra competitive guy. Steph, ultra competitive. Nico, Tank, Joe, like, they're all just incredibly competitive to where, you know, if at any point, any snap, they lose, like, that's not good enough. And that's how we approach it.
Boy, it's going to be fun watching Slowick's hands on the dials. And it was fun last year.
Yeah.
But with these guys, you just heard him talk about Steph in particular. And Steph is probably at the center of it all, but he's not it. I mean, you know, what Slowick's going to be able to do with these guys, you can just tell that he's going to be able to really open up. We're going to see new things. We're going to see different things than we have before.
Yeah, and I think that Tank Dell on the pivot kind of gave me another level of comfort knowing that they've got plays dialed up for every single one of those major players. And so I know that it's going to be very incumbent upon that man, Bobby Slowick, to make sure that it gets around and make sure that, you know, the offense is as multifaceted as it should be, that it doesn't lean too heavily in one way or the other. Speaking of this offense, a lot of consternation, a lot of hot wind by us and the likes of us about, Damian Pierce, but also in the context of a fullback, right? And all those things. Yeah. And Bobby Slowick was asked about not having a fullback.
That really has been the exact same all the way through my time here. You know, we're going to do everything we can to put our offense and our people in the best spots to do what they can do. And sometimes that's going to be 11 personnel. A few times last year we went 10 personnel. That can be 21, that can be 12. So it's more so, you know, how we want to construct the roster with D'Amico and with Nick and what they think is best for the team. And then, I mean, we like I've said already, we got enough ammunition. Like, no matter what, we feel like we can make it all work. You know, we can attack a defense any way we want. So as far as, like, the fullback specifically, that's never been a requirement. You know, that's something that we'll use if we have available, but we're going to use everything we can.
Okay, this is where you have to kind of raise an eyebrow.
Yeah,
because he said, you know, we're not incumbent, it's not essential, we'll use it if we have one available. But they've had a fullback.
Yeah.
They had two fullbacks last year.
You think he's trying to convince himself in some ways?
No, I don't. I think it's just, look, this was an ongoing story the whole offseason.
Yep.
You know, when we're going out to training camp, I kept saying, boy, that's interesting. They haven't really used a fullback on that set. And it was first team versus first team. Then we go to the preseason games. Well, they didn't really use a fullback. Then I actually counted how many times they used a fullback in the third preseason game, which is the one that mattered with all the starters. I'm like, they didn't use them at all. They used Dover, Jordan. We've talked about it, you know, et cetera. So, I mean, his approach, I get, you know, we'll use what we have. But they did have a fullback before, and now they don't.
Yeah, and I think the idea that he's trying to at least sell us here is the idea that, that was a thing that we could use, but it's never been necessary. And I think the reason why I found it interesting, why my eyebrows raised, and why I think that I'm leaning towards believing him in some ways is the whole idea of the fullback in these Shanahan systems is to create a mismatch within the defense, right? Force them to have to get this, cover this guy, and then if that guy's in a different position or is capable of doing multiple things, now you have forced a mismatch. You have enough guys to force mismatches in all sorts of different ways. And so I think if that general foundational idea of why you use the fullback is something that you can get to. Mm-hmm. And the fullback itself, I don't know, is the like linchpin and necessary and what makes it happen. I think it's just a nice
thing. Oh, don't get me wrong on this. I like this.
Yeah.
Like I am an advocate of it. I'm just saying that I took note because I was so intrigued by it. I like the idea of Cade Stover being a tight end, maybe some sort of flex and a fullback. Same with Brevin Jordan. Maybe British Brooks is going to be in there, but he is not a by definition fullback. He never has been. So I like this. I want to see this. Yeah. Is part of this ties in with my, you know, what we were talking about just a second ago. He's got some tricks. He's got some new stuff, and I want to see this. I'm just saying. It's a little bit of a, no, you really did have a fullback last year. You had two of them.
Shout out to the A32 who was mentioning the idea that Beck was basically a tight end lineup in the backfield. But you mentioned tight ends. That texter mentions tight ends. Bobby Slowick on if the addition of Stephon Diggs, you know, has, you know, to the offense has changed some of the roles for tight ends at all.
No, not in my mind. And the reason I would say that is the receiver matchup wise and pass coverage is pretty clear, especially the guys you're referencing. Like, they're going to make sure they put good coverage defenders on them. Tight ends are always going to be a difficult matchup for a defense. Do we want to treat him like he's a receiver, or do we want to treat him like he's a tight end? And when they treat him like he's a tight end, let's make sure we have someone that can go winning routes. And if they want to treat him like a receiver, let's big body him and, you know, let's use skills that other receivers may not necessarily have. So I always think that there's something there that you could take advantage of. And we got a room that's all very different. That's also what's fun. Like, Dalton's a very good separator, route runner, and he has fantastic hands. But then you have Brevin, who's explosive, fast, can move, can even beat DBs with just speed. And then Cade is very consistent and extremely physical. And really all three of them have a purpose, and they can do a lot of different things that you could take advantage of.
Yeah, the same thing with right. What they're doing, because he had actually mentioned previously they can go with no fullbacks or yep. No backs, and that's where these tight ends and maybe a back in motion like Joe Mixon comes into play. And you said this, the mismatch. Imagine the mismatches if you have three wide, a tight end, and Mixon in motion. Holy smokes.
Yeah, good luck.
I mean, holy smokes.
Because at some point, you've got somebody defending one of those dudes that you don't want defending.
He's overmatched.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple more things. I don't know if I'll have time, and we might have to find another place mm-hmm. to make sure we get him in, because I found that it'd be interesting. But Bobby Slowick, over the course of, I believe, the offseason, or at least camp, has, talked about the idea of, you know, having C.J. Stroud, forcing him out of not being able to get to his first read, right? Mm-hmm. Forcing him down deeper into the progression. And so he was asked about how much C.J. has learned on that type of, you know, exercise on forcing him going past his first read.
I think he's always been all in on it. You know, he understands how valuable that is as a quarterback to just be able to stay on the field, get to third and manageables. And that's really what it's about. You know, it's my job to get number one as open as possible all the time. But, you know, not always going to do that. And when I'm wrong, how right can you make me? Are we wrong? Like, man, I just called a play and we lost 4 yards. Or can I call a play and be wrong and we gain 6? You know, and that started towards the end of camp. That happened a lot. You know, he really is bought into staying on rhythm, getting the ball out on time, and you know, really getting it to our playmakers' hands as often as possible. And that's not easy to do. Like, you have to be very deliberate in how you approach every day to go put that into action. And it definitely has grown.
This is the least of my worries. I don't know about you guys, because we saw CJ last year kind of become that type of quarterback. So imagine after an offseason.
Right, and that's my thing, is I love the prospect of that mm-hmm. as continued progression with C.J. Stroud. And I love the way that he, you know, lined it up, right? The idea, we've put a lot at Bobby Slowick's feet, and deservedly so, but the idea of, hey, if I do make a wrong call, and if number one receiver, and when he said number one, I was like, is he talking about Diggs? if the number one option on the play is not open, can you then somehow make it right?
Make me right. I like that line.
I love that idea where it's like, you know, a bad play call that is possible to happen with any play caller. Is it going to be negative, or is it just going to be not as explosive as previously desired, but still a good decision? And so I thought that was really interesting. I'll circle back around to the run game and how that works, because what he had to say about the offensive line I thought was fascinating mm-hmm. For me. But actually, you know what? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Give me Slowick 4 here, because I just found this to be really interesting. How much different Bobby Slowick thinks the run game will be this year because of the additions and consistency with the offensive line?
Yeah, I'd say consistency-wise, that's a really big thing to me, continuity up front. And I still don't necessarily know through the preseason and camp if we've gotten quite as much continuity with the starting five as we'd love to have so far. But we're getting there in regards to that. I'd say, like, just scheme-wise, you're always going to grow and evolve with what you have, you know. And we have a starting point of our run game that we believe in, and we believe what it does for the rest of our offense. But, you know, I think if you would have watched last year, like, we grew, we changed what we did in the run game. It wasn't the same as it was early on in the year. And every offseason, you kind of do a deep dive, a self-study. Then you kind of formulate a plan of what you want to do going into the next year. And inevitably this year is going to adjust again as we keep going and just see how everything comes together with a new group. So it's like everything, it's ever evolving, but it is a big emphasis for us. It takes a lot of snaps off protection, takes some snaps off our quarterback. And it can heavily influence, you know, some of the pass game and being able to get explosives.
What did you hear there? Because, like, one of the things he didn't seem like he was like, yeah, we're, you know, selling the idea that, oh, well, the offense line's going to be like, there's a little bit of, hey,
oh, for sure,
we'll see how this goes. But yeah. I found it interesting, the confidence in we've seen progress and we expect more progress as we go.
I said it yesterday. They don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know. They think they know. They know a lot more than any of us. But based on the preseason and what we saw from Damian Pierce and the offensive line, they can't know that this is going to be, you know, automatically a good run attack.
And so, yeah, that's definitely going to be it was already going to be a place that we were watching.
Mm-hmm.
I think that answer and the way that he answered it, obviously mm-hmm. trying to make sure that there was some optimism, but I'm very intrigued to see, like, he's like, hey, man, there hasn't really been that much consistency when it comes to the five up front where, you know, we want it to be good and we made progress last year, but more progress needs to be made. That gave me a little bit of intrigue into what we see Sunday at noon versus the Colts in Indy for these Texans. So, look, man, appreciate Bobby Slowick talking to the media and giving us those insights. He sounds more and more head coach.
He's a head coach.
He's ready for that.
He's a head coach.
There you go. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including what's happening with the Astros. Like, how are they in a race again? We'll talk about it next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Popping.
What's happening? What's popping here? Sports Radio 610 in the Loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atatula, hanging out with you. Let's get into the big things going on and your Astros.
My Astros?
I mean, just generally.
No, I don't. I'll claim them.
Okay, cool. You sounded like offended when I, like,
oh, no,
as though
no,
I was,
no, my
I was
Astros.
Handing you a hot potato of some
Houston's
sort.
Astros.
Unfortunately,
or when you see somebody acting the fool, that's your boy.
Yeah, yeah. What's happening with your boy? Did you ever do that with your wife? Your
she
son,
gets
your
so
son.
Mad.
Look at what your son did.
No, she gets so mad. Like, whether it's the kids or a player or something. Isn't that your guy?
Oh, she hates
yeah.
that.
Oh, she hates
you
that.
Yeah, my wife hate that too.
Really?
Apparently, her dad used to do that a lot and yeah. it used to irritate her.
She really hates you when I say your boy.
Yeah.
Your boy so and so.
Hey, I saw your boy.
Hates it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, unfortunately, one thing that you hate to see just in general is that the Astros still couldn't get a win against the Reds.
9 years?
It's been a while.
Golly.
It's been a long while.
And, 9 years.
And of course, when you talk about your boy, right, your boy Ty France is the one who did it.
What was he, 7-for-10, 7-for-11 in the series?
I mean, it felt like
just
he was
ripping
37-for-7.
Yeah.
Like, he just homered in the seventh inning. And yeah. that was the single run mm-hmm. in this game. Hunter Brown handling his business in this one. We talked about how because of the Arrieta not getting out of the first the day prior, that
yeah.
it was going to be incumbent upon the starter to give you some level of depth in this one. Six innings.
Yeah, you know, there's some games that you just sort of chalk up. And I felt like yesterday was one of those, you know, kind of an it happens game. You got a great pitching performance. There was another great pitching performance. And there was a clutch hit. It happens. So it's not necessarily time to, like, overreact or lay out some big okay, this is a trend that is disturbing. It's not necessarily that, but there were a couple of familiar little issues that need to be cleaned up fast.
Yes.
And oh, by the way, they're playing, and I feel like I said this last week, they're playing maybe the hottest team in baseball right now.
Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Coming, are your next matchup in the course of this one. Like, yeah, that's going to be real interesting to see for mm-hmm. your Astros. As you mentioned, the hot team in the Diamondbacks mm-hmm. coming to town. In fact, playing tonight, 7:10, first pitch. And yeah, you're going to have Brandon Fott, who was a very good pitcher as well. Like mm-hmm. deep into the playoffs, was incredible. I mean, thus far, not the greatest season, 4.32 ERA this year, but you know that he has the capability of pitching at a high level. But you got Fromber going, which is nice.
Yes.
You got to get back to winning ways, especially because you look at the standings in this, and again, it tightens up a little bit once more.
That's the thing.
It's down, I don't want to say that it's like tight, but
it's down to four and a half. Yeah. Down to 4.5.
Because it gotten back to uh-huh. six, right? You're having this kind of like ebb and flow in some sorts in the way that this goes. And mm-hmm. once again, after a couple of games, one in a row by the Mariners, and after you drop three in a row to the Reds, there you go. Close again.
A couple things here for both you guys. Number one, is Kyle Tucker going to be in the lineup tonight? Or is he going to be on the roster tonight?
No.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no, too. And second thing, I want to do what Joe Espada wanted us to do. We're sitting here doing the show yesterday.
Okay, we're going to come back to the positives of this.
We were sitting here doing the show yesterday. I look up during a segment, fifth inning, really hard hit ball to shortstop. And Jeremy Pena backhands it, scoops it up, jumps in the air, throws to first base, boom, boom, bang, bang, gets the guy out. So there was a play that a really good major league shortstop makes that was good, and he made it. So kudos to him.
Yeah.
Kudos to him. Woo! We don't just talk about the bad plays. We don't just talk about the errors and all that stuff, although the errors have still been there. But
and just the general lack of runs saved.
Yes. Just a little shout out doing what Joe Spada said. You don't talk about those. Yeah, we are. We just did. But I mentioned the little things that might be, you know, need to be cleaned up and cleaned up fast. Yordan was 1-for-11 against the Reds. Can't win anything without Yordan. I've said it multiple times. You know, they have great players here that make great plays, have great at-bats, have big moments. Yordan is going to be the difference. He was 1-for-11. Also, Bregman 1-for-7. Altuve 2-for-10. Yonner was 2-for-9. So clean that up. Get some offense. Get some runs going.
And, yeah, it'd be great to do it against these Arizona Diamondbacks coming into town. And, again, fend off the Mariners. Like, I don't think any of us really believe the Mariners will catch them, but mm-hmm. hey, man, just put it away. Like, don't make it a thing for the rest of the season.
Don't make it a thing.
Yeah. Some other things that are popping. It's college football. Mm-hmm. Week 2 coming up. And are you excited about this slate? Are you enthralled?
Well, I'm always going to watch college football. You know how I am with that. I just love it. But it's a week schedule. It's a week schedule this week. It's the NFL's first weekend, and it's the weekend when college teams play a lot of cupcakes.
Especially after, like, they try and get the flash of week one, and then they go back into the, all right, let's not do too much.
You got Michigan and Texas.
Yeah, Texas is going to run them off the field, man.
Oh.
I actually agree with this.
Texas is going to run them off the field.
The line currently, according to ESPN Bet, is 7.
It's not 7.5 anymore?
It's not 7.5. I got 7.5 in my pick'em league.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a -7 in favor of Texas. Yeah, Michigan, this is not Michigan of last year. That number 10 ranking that they have is a little bit of respect.
Yeah.
I think week one, and it could just be general week one-iness, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term. But week one, they did not look like they had the same level of strength. And for sure, quarterback coming in is not J.J. McCarthy, as much as I might be one that talks a little bit down about J.J. McCarthy. He did bring a certain level of quarterbacking caliber that it does not seem like
I could see
right
this
now.
Being a 3-score game.
I could as well. I was thinking 2 scores myself.
Yeah,
and that head coach, little, I don't know if he knows.
Oh, wow. You come after Gerard Moore?
I'm coming after the black man. I'm sorry.
That's crazy, man.
Hey, man. I just don't think that's the spot for him.
And then the only other games, how do you feel about
Colorado? A&M McNeese? Yeah, I think A&M
McNeese. I think they might pull that one out, but who knows? Colorado, Nebraska?
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Me all right.
I think it's
me all right.
It's going to be fun to train our eyes there. And, you know,
a lot of hate watch, too.
You got a hate watch also.
Colorado Hate Watch or what?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I actually, I know that there's going to be, that's probably, if we were going to split this percentage-wise, the ways that people are looking at this, yeah. I imagine that that is the larger percentage of people looking at it to hate watch Colorado. And although I don't know how much you should be hating watching Travis Hunter play all these snaps, it's truly
incredible. I enjoy it. Yeah, that's the guy. But yeah, I'm kind of hate watching.
People want to see Colorado crash.
Yeah,
and you will, in my opinion. But I think the smaller slice of the pie. But I think which is the more interesting one for me, possibly. I think Matt Rhule is doing something with Nebraska. I think Matt Rhule is going to have has a Nebraska that is up to the
task. We're going
to
find out
in some ways, and I think that this will be helpful. Although I don't know how much this will tell us, because again,
it's a true freshman quarterback, right? It's that kid he was recruited by a lot of teams down here, Texas and A&M.
Oh, was it Dylan Raiola?
Yeah, Raiola.
Yeah,
yeah, Raiola is their quarterback. So yeah, that's on the slate. But again, pretty thin. You got Iowa State, Iowa rivalry, okay. Tennessee, NC State, whatever. Arkansas, Oklahoma State, kind of whatever as well. I mean, but they're worthy of a watch, no question about it.
U of H playing this weekend, aren't they?
Oh, man. You had to bring up U of H.
You excited about that?
What's the spread on that?
Who they play, Oklahoma?
Oklahoma. Oklahoma's going to put 60.
I'm guessing in the recap of that game, it will be just listed as a lot to a little. Okay, so what was the guesses on the line for you?
I'm going to say, I'm calling it up, but I'm not going to look. I'm going to say Oklahoma by 29.
I'm going to be fair. I'm going to say 24.
28! Minus 28 is what the line looks like. Over-under is 49.5.
So. I could see them putting 6.
That's nice.
All due respect, U of H. They're going to give up half
a rebuild. It's a rebuild.
Yeah, it's going to be half a hundred.
It's a retool.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm waiting for Willie Fritz to come through around once he builds this thing up, though.
Yeah.
I believe in his capability of doing that, but yeah.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
That, you know what? You really did. You're preaching with that one.
Oh, Baylor, Utah. That might be worthy of a watch.
Oh, yeah, but I think Baylor, like Dave Aranda's defense is going to be one to watch as Dave Aranda's trying to save his job, but I think they're just going to go in there and deal with
really?
I think Utah is going to come out with just hammers.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Baylor was
No, I think Baylor's going to do they're going to try and show up well, and Utah is just going to hit them with hammers repeatedly. Yeah. Just blunt force objects.
Yeah.
Or blunt force
trauma, I thought we had a story here. I thought you were picking Baylor.
No, I can't do that. I couldn't do that. Texas Southern Rice playing as well, so another Houston matchup there. I will keep my eyes on that space. But there you go. College football, what we're looking forward to just generally over the weekend. That is also what's popping here in Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we have an opportunity to sit down with Jalen Petrie, Nickelback for your Texans, as he's getting ready to and promoting a big event that he has, or a big foundational push that he has in making sure that we feed the babies. We'll talk about that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.